This is Dial a Saint introducing Saint Isaac Jogues. In the 1600s, New France was an unexplored, uncharted, and unsettled wilderness. It included present-day Canada and, in the United States, extended from the Appalachian Mountains to the Rockies. The French wanted to settle this region, and so in 1608 founded a trading post named Quebec on the St. Lawrence River. Isaac Jogues was born to a family of nine in 1607 in Orléans, France. By nature, he was a lively and intense boy, but also very obedient and ready to apologize to anyone he had offended. In school, he was naturally curious, which led him to study well and remember his lessons. When he was 17, he entered the Jesuit seminary and was assigned to Canada after his ordination. Isaac was 29 years old when he arrived in New France to join the other missionaries at the main settlement of the Huron Indians. Huron country in 1636 was an area of land about 75 miles long and 25 miles wide, lying alongside what is now Lake Huron. The name Huron meant boar's hair and accurately described the band of hair which stood up from the front to the back of the brave's clean-shaven head. The rest of the warrior's body was painted in patterns of bright colors and usually set off with colorful gaudy beads. Generally, all the Indians were superstitious and inclined to worship evil spirits whom they thought caused epidemics and droughts because they were angry. The tribe's medicine men acted as links with the spirit world and claimed to understand them. The medicine men held great power over the tribe and did not like the missionaries who seemed to challenge their authority by teaching about Christianity. Against the obstacles of possible hostile Indians, an unfamiliar language, and a different culture, the missionaries were expected to live with the Indians, eat the same food, and at the same time find opportunities to instruct them about God. But because they were outsiders, their every move was watched. The Indians read implications into their most ordinary actions. For example, it was thought that the weather vane pointed the way for the demons to find the village, and that their locked box held evil spirits inside waiting to be released. Missionary life was hard, for it seemed that the village sorcerer blamed them for causing every unfortunate event which occurred. Even though Isaac Jogues did gain the Hurons' respect, and was nicknamed Bird of Prey because of his agility, the Indians felt his magic was not very strong. After all, he had only baptized 120 persons during his 6 years with them, and since most were old and sick, many died. The Indians were looking for a medical doctor, not one for the spirit. In the fall of 1642, Isaac Jogues and about 20 Hurons started on their yearly 500-mile trip to Quebec to trade pelts for supplies and ammunition. On their return, they were surprised by an Iroquois raiding party. The Iroquois were on the warpath. They captured the canoes and took everyone prisoner. Some of the Hurons were tortured to death, but Isaac Jogues' life was spared. For an Indian to be captured meant certain death by torture, but each side was expected to follow a certain ritual. The captors took delight in making the suffering as painful and drawn out as possible. The captured Indian's only recourse was to endure his agony in heroic self-control without any show of emotion or sign of pain. This was the only way his captors could be deprived of their enjoyment. Isaac Jogues' fingernails were torn out, and his index fingers were bitten through. When he fainted, he was burned and hung up by his arms until he fainted again. At each Iroquois village where they stopped, the prisoners were tortured over again. But since word had spread to the Dutch about the captive missionaries, the Iroquois were afraid to kill them. As time passed, the sister of one of Isaac Jogues' captors became impressed by his calm and serenity during his trials and offered him protection. Soon other Iroquois started to listen when he told them about the seasons and the rules of nature. They were curious to hear about God, who was the loving creator of their world. Even the same Indians who had tortured him asked his forgiveness. He was still held captive, but was allowed to move about, to instruct the children and to baptize the sick. Exactly 1 year after his capture, Isaac Jogues was able to escape and return to France. The newspapers published his adventures, and he became instantly famous. He was given special permission to celebrate Mass in his own way because of his mutilated hands, and he even had an audience with the Queen, who said, "Every day we read adventure novels that are pure fiction. Here we have one that is true, and which blends the heroic with the miraculous." But Isaac soon grew restless, and within a year was given permission to return to his people, the Iroquois. Conditions in New France had grown worse during his absence. The Iroquois were still on the warpath against the Huron and Algonquin nations. He arranged for a peace conference between the Iroquois and the French. Both sides agreed that all war should stop, prisoners should be exchanged, and ambassadors would carry news to all five of the Iroquois nations. Isaac Jogues volunteered to be the ambassador to his old captors, the Mohawks, who were amazed by his courage when he returned. In September of 1646, he set out on a peace journey through Mohawk country. One night his Iroquois escorts disappeared, and the next day the Huron ambassadors suddenly left the convoy to go home. Isaac Jogues was now alone with only two companions. When they began a portage with their canoe, they were met by a war party of Mohawks who belonged to the Bear Clan, which in the past had no interest in peace efforts. Moreover, many powerful members of the more peaceful Wolf Clan, which had accepted Christianity, had died from an epidemic. Their deaths were blamed on Isaac Jogues. Years earlier, he had left a locked box with them, which they had buried in fear of its magic powers. Now some thought the evil spirits inside must have escaped to plague them. Discussions about the fate of Isaac Jogues went on for days. Then one evening, a Bear Clan member invited him to his wigwam for the evening meal. As the missionary bent down at the entrance, he was killed by a tomahawk blow on the head. Then he was scalped, and his head hung on a stake in the village as a sign of victory. His murderer was later captured, tried by the French governor, and handed over to the Algonquin Indians for punishment. Isaac Jogues had offered every moment of his life to God to bring the knowledge of God to the Indians. The final test of his love was that he willingly offered his life as a necessary part of his mission. He was declared to be a saint in 1930. The work of St. Isaac Jogues did bear fruit. Just 10 years later, in the very village where he was martyred, a little girl named Kateri Takawitha was born, who was favored by God to become the first native saint among the Mohawks. Her story will also be told on Dial a Saint. Everything we do can be turned into an opportunity to show how much we love God. We have only a short period of time to do this, our lifetime.